Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reiser, Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. We are back to our regular program today. First on the docket, Chad Daybell's attorney said the prosecution hasn't proven conspiracy. Second, a Georgia prosecutor wants an ex-cop thrown in jail for taking a vacation. Next, a man takes a ride on the hood of an 18-wheeler for 9 miles. The police in Aurora, Colorado say, I'm sorry. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reiser, Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit the subscribe button. Hit that like button as well. Leave us a comment and hit that little bell on your computer so that you can receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First on the docket, Chad Daybell. That's right, you may have heard of him. He's accused of conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence, specifically the bodies of JJ and Ty Lee. That's right, the children of his now wife, Lori Vallow, who is charged with the same offenses plus a few more. Well, for the last 2 days, if you've been here, you've been watching the Chad Daybell preliminary hearing. You can see it all. You can see the witnesses. And the attorney, Mr. Pryor, for Mr. Chad Daybell, basically said in his closing argument yesterday, there's no way that the prosecution came close to establishing a conspiracy or concealment in any way.
And quite honestly, Judge, if this is what the evidence is in terms of an overt act, I would submit to the court that I understand the burden in a preliminary hearing, but they aren't even close on the conspiracy in either suggestion that in either case, in regards to an overt act plus an agreement, I'm respectfully asking the court to dismiss the charges. They haven't met their burden, and I don't believe they have provided any near the type of evidence that is necessary to even overcome that small threshold. Thank you, Your Honor.
Someone will accuse me of playing sides here, but I'm not. The prosecution did a very good job of presenting their evidence. It's a preliminary hearing. It's a much lower standard of proof. However, the evidence was not particularly overwhelming in the ears and eyes of this humble little street attorney, all right? There's nothing establishing when this conspiracy took place. A couple of phone calls where Chad Daybell does very little talking and sounds a little dejected that they're actually searching the property may not be enough to get the government over their hurdle of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I think a jury can convict based upon the evidence they have? Yes, I do. Was it particularly overwhelming? Not really. I was expecting maybe something a little bit more, an admission, a statement that they knew the bodies were there. The best they could come up with was that 3-minute phone call from the jail where Chad Daybell doesn't sound particularly thrilled that the police are searching the property. And only thing that Lori Vallow can come up with is, let's pray. We'll continue to follow this case. Chad Daybell now has an arraignment set for August 21st. We'll see if he enters into a plea or sets the matter for a jury trial. Lori Vallow has a preliminary hearing set for Monday, August 10th at 9 a.m. We'll see if her attorney goes forward with the preliminary hearing or waives the preliminary hearing in light of the fact that her now husband, Chad Daybell, and his attorney did a pretty decent job of conducting some discovery as well as making a few points laying out a potential defense. We'll have to wait and see. Next on the docket, do you remember this guy? That's right, now former police officer Garrett Rolfe. He is charged in the fatal shooting of Rayshard Brooks. He's the police officer who shot Mr. Rayshard Brooks on a DUI stop in a Wendy's parking lot in Georgia. Mr. Brooks ran. And ultimately, then, Officer Rolfe shot him in the back as he was running away. The mayor of Atlanta fired Mr. Rolfe almost immediately. Well, now Mr. Rolfe is making some more headlines for two reasons. First, he's suing the city to get his job back. Now, understand, he's facing charges for felony murder in the state of Georgia. And the district attorney is saying that he violated a condition of his bond by taking a vacation to Florida. Now, normally when someone is charged with a felony and specifically on bond, the defendant cannot leave the state without permission from the court. It's a pain in the ass to file these motions. You have to say, here's the itinerary for the defendant. They'll be traveling via this way. They'll be staying at this location and returning, and they'll comply with all the terms and conditions of the bond, including UAs and BAs, anything that the court is going to require. It normally requires a waiver of extradition so that you can say, if you are arrested and don't come after you don't come back, that you are agreeing to come back to the state in which you are fleeing. Now, I always find it ironic because whenever you ask for these permission to travel, you have to cite the position of the district attorney. And I would say 90% of the time, the district attorney objects regardless of anything. Currently have a case now where my client's father was in a horrific accident and is in the ICU and the district attorney is objecting, okay? So you have to state the position of the district attorney, you put it in the motion, and I would say 99% of the time, the court grants permission to travel. And as I've always tried to explain to the district attorney, as well as the judge, that if my client was not going to return to the state, I don't think that they would be asking for permission to leave. They would simply just go. But nobody ever seems to get that, and they always act so concerned that somebody would have business to do while they're, yes, are charged, but they should be given the presumption of innocence. Well, needless to say, the district attorney wants Mr. Rolfe arrested because he's on a $500,000 bond, home detention as a condition of his bond, wanted to take a vacation to Florida, went and didn't seek court approval. Apparently, there was an email from Mr. Rolfe's attorney making such request. This new motion does seem to coincide with the fact that Mr. Rolfe wants to sue the mayor and the city to get his job back, saying that he was fired without cause and without any due process whatsoever, which is required under the labor contracts that the police department has with the city. We'll see how Mr. Rolfe's new adventures work out. It's always ironic when the hunters become the hunted and they have to comply with all the rules that they thought were absolutely necessary before they were a defendant. Next on the docket, ladies and gentlemen, I would not tell you to buy something if I didn't use it myself. We use our background subscription service here at my law office. We use it on a daily basis, doing background searches for information on witnesses. We use it to get information on anyone who may be relevant to our case. Well, guess what? You can have the same tools as well. If you go to crimetalksearch.com, you can sign up for a background search subscription. And in that subscription, you will be able to search telephone numbers, email addresses. You'll be able to find out information on a person's social media. Additionally, in that report, you'll get information regarding if there is a criminal background record, if there are bankruptcies, if there are civil judgments pending against someone, as well as marital records. You can do it as many times as you want. You can do it anonymously. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely satisfied that you did. We use it here. It saves us time. It saves us money. You'll be satisfied you did the same thing. Next on the docket, a man takes a ride on an 18-wheeler for 9 miles. Take a look at this video, ladies and gentlemen. The Florida Highway Patrol said that a man clung to the truck for 9 miles before troopers caught up with him and pulled the truck over. The unidentified man was taken to the Wellington Regional Hospital for evaluation. And that's where the entire story began to unfold. According to police reports, the unidentified man had been driving a white Toyota SUV southbound on the I-95 turnpike when, according to his passenger, he began behaving strangely. The man pulled off the highway at the Boynton Beach exit, stopping on the ramp, and got out of his vehicle. The unidentified man then flagged down a semi-tractor trailer. The driver pulled over thinking that the man needed assistance. Instead, he climbed up on the tractor trailer, slamming the windshield. The driver of the truck panicked, said that he hit the gas and drove a little erratically himself, trying to shake this man off on what was captured on cell phone by a gentleman by the name of Eric Morales. As Morales drives by, the man can be heard yelling, "Call for help! Call the police!" By the time the troopers caught up, the man had been on the hood of the semi for 9 miles. It's unclear whether either individual will be charged. Now, not trying to take light of the situation at all, because this is a very serious and dangerous situation. I literally just received a letter from a former client who was in a very similar situation and wound up spending at least the next decade on a 20-year sentence in prison. There was an argument. A woman got on top of the car, grabbed onto the hood, drove away, and then slammed on the brakes, sending the person, and literally the pictures look like something out of a cartoon. You could see the fingernails literally try to grasp on the dust and the dirt on the hood, falling back, striking her head. Fortunately, did not die, but was very seriously injured and resulted in a 20-year prison sentence for the client. He was originally charged as an attempted murder. So it just shows, ladies and gentlemen, this semi driver thinks that somebody needs assistance, pulls over, doesn't know really what is going on, and thank goodness this gentleman did not get hurt. Sounds like there may be some mental health issues or perhaps some controlled substance that altered his good decision-making functions. But needless to say, it's dangerous, and that is how quickly someone's life can change, just like that. Make good decisions, ladies and gentlemen. Good decisions. Next on the docket, the police say, "I'm sorry." That's right. The police chief for the Aurora, Colorado Police Department, who's been in a little bit of the hot seat lately since being the temporary police and now the permanent chief of police, now had to say she's sorry for the conduct of her officers. That's right. The officers were driving through a parking lot, and they were obviously, or more than likely, running license plates through their little scanner. The license plate popped up that the car was in fact stolen. So what's the logical thing to do? Not to do a little further investigation? Oh no, the Aurora Police Department, those guys make rules and they follow rules. And their officers, that's right, did a felony stop and got Brittany Gilliam with her 6-year-old daughter, her 12-year-old sister, and her 14 and 17-year-old nieces out on the hot concrete at gunpoint while they figured out that the plate that was reportedly stolen was from a different state and was incorrect. Once, of course, the police officers were asked by bystanders what was going on, what's their logical response to do? Step back or I'm going to charge you with interference. Oops, as it turns out, they had to let everybody up, unhandcuff them, and now the police chief, Vanessa Wilson, says, "I'm sorry." As you may recall, Aurora Police has been under the hot seat for the death of Elijah McClain, a young black man who was minding his own business, but somebody called and said that he looked suspicious. The police pulled him over. The officers basically got in his face. He said, "Please step back." They, of course, thought that he was being rude. They arrest him. He's agitated because he suffers from autism. And ultimately, they shoot him in the neck to sedate him with ketamine, and he dies shortly thereafter. As usual in that particular case, the first investigation found that the police and paramedics did nothing wrong. And then, at the request of the governor, our attorney general, Phil Weiser, has decided now to conduct his own investigation, which, of course, will probably take months, if not years, whereupon, once all the brouhaha has calmed down, a decision will be made that no officers should, in fact, be charged in any way. We'll wait and see. And if I sound a little cynical, well, it's probably because I am. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, since we had such a busy docket the last couple days of bringing you the Chad Daybell preliminary hearing both Monday and Tuesday, and then going live and then doing Patreon, we didn't have time to announce the dumb criminal contestant of the week winner. Well, that's right. It was a lot of stiff competition last week, but our winner was, in fact, Stephen Lee Donovan. That's right. The pizza guy who went down to the store where he was caught pleasuring himself by an off-duty police officer. You all voted, Mr. Donovan, you win. Now, what are you going to do, Mr. Donovan? You will be receiving a Crime Talk mug in the mail. Here's the deal. I'm not even going to wait for you to contact me, Mr. Donovan. Oh, no, 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 no. Because I'm going to crimetalksearch.com and I'm going to find your address, Mr. Donovan. I am personally going to send you the Crime Talk mug to show that you are the dumb criminal contestant of the week. That's right. And when you're drinking that morning cup of Joe, you can say, I'm a dumb criminal. Now, the runners up last week, it was tough, but that was the nude couple from Massachusetts that was walking their dog in the early hours naked, making contact with the police, who ultimately wound up assaulting the police officers. It was close, but Mr. Donovan squeaked it out by an inch. Today's dumb criminal contestant, an 82-year-old man who was driving around in his golf cart in his retirement community. And ultimately, he was pulled over for DUI. His BAC was twice the legal limit, which was 0.08, which means he was at 0.160, double the legal limit. Mr. Kerry Devan, a former IBM manager, ultimately had police contact when he wrecked his ride Thursday. It was a one-cart accident less than a mile from his home, and as I stated, he was charged with DUI. But upon further questioning, Mr. Devan has a defense. And it is a new defense that I have yet to hear anything about, but it's called the Trump defense. That's right. Apparently, Mr. Devan was watching President Trump give an update regarding the administration's efforts to confront the coronavirus. Apparently, President Trump gave a brief statement regarding the death of Herman Cain, and then he went on to criticized various members of the opposite political party and warned of mail fraud in ballots. Well, apparently Mr. Devan became so upset that he started drinking vodka. He drank so much vodka because of his anger at watching the president that he got in his golf cart and was engaged in a one-cart accident. Now, Mr. Devan, I am the first. Yes, I am the first to get up there and say, I will try just about any new legal theory of defense in cases, all right? One of my personal favorites that I really want to try is for drunk drivers. Particularly, I need a raging alcoholic to say, ladies and gentlemen, they have to prove that it affected one's ability to operate a motor vehicle and say, you wouldn't want this person operating a motor vehicle if they were sober because they would have the shakes and they would be dangerous. They're functioning alcoholic. And that's just the way it is. And why do we have these arbitrary rules of 0.080, right? I'm going to do it one day. But Mr. Devan, I've never heard of, nor do I think I could possibly get up and make a straight face and say the Trump defense, that Trump made me do it. Now, we know at least 50% of the nation is either for or against the president. So I guess you got a 50-50 chance. You could get some sympathy out of it. I don't know. But Mr. Devan, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the week because we like your creativity. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.